Been a minute since we've caught up with Tommy Fauchet from the Louisiana Mid-Continent Oil and Gas Association. Tommy, welcome back. How are you, man?
I am good. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Okay. We got a lot of ground to cover from the legislative standpoint, but I would be very remiss if I didn't start with a little bit of carbon capture here. Hey, Brian, why are you asking the Louisiana Mid-Continent Oil and Gas Association about carbon capture? Because it's the future for a lot of different fields and areas. So let's talk about it, shall we?
Absolutely. And look, when we talk about carbon capture, that is happening at the legislature as well. We have seen a lot of progress in the last 12 months since the last time the legislature was in session on carbon capture. When we adjourned last year, we were getting close to public hearings that were going to ultimately inform the EPA's decision to give the state what we call primacy, so basically giving the state the authority to regulate carbon capture wells here at the state level. Since then, those hearings have happened. The state has received its primacy authority from the EPA, which is great for Louisiana because what we know is some of the best, most qualified regulators of the entire energy industry, oil and gas industry, now carbon capture, actually sit in Louisiana. We have the best scientists who understand the geology of our state, understand the industry, understand the need to protect communities. And so a lot has happened since last time the legislature was in. And of course, we're going to have more conversations about carbon capture this year with the legislature as we continue to see energy companies wanting to invest in CCS, which is exciting for Louisiana, exciting because it's going to bring new jobs and new revenues.
The new jobs and new revenues part does have me excited, to be sure. The primacy part, Tommy, I would be lying if I said I didn't have a little bit of concern that we might see an over-aggressiveness in this field, a little ready-fire-aim approach. What is there in line to keep us from, I don't want to say overreacting, but reacting too quickly because of the number of potential jobs that's out there, the amount of money that's out there? We're talking about $50 billion worth of projects could be on the table. How do we know that all of our ducks in a row and scientifically we're doing everything the safest way possible? What oversight is there on that front?
Yes, I think you have to look at what's driving. The reason why Louisiana has found itself at the forefront of carbon capture technology and investment, yes, the jobs and the revenues are going to be extremely important, as is any business development in Louisiana. But the only way we could even get into the arena of talking about getting to the jobs and investment was by understanding Louisiana's ability, the geology of our state, the makeup of the earth in which we find ourselves living on in this part of our country, in this part of Louisiana. Scientists had to know that they could safely inject carbon dioxide into the ground and that it would stay there indefinitely without any risk to communities. Right. And so that had to happen first. And because of, you know, more than a century of oil and gas investments and improvements in Louisiana, our state, both the company, both the state government, everyone knew that Louisiana was a prime place for carbon capture. So we knew we could do it safely first. We knew we could do it efficiently first. And that is when the company decided to then make the investment. So I think when we look at Department of Natural Resources, Office of Conservation, Department of Environmental Quality, they've been regulating our industry for decades. They've been regulating what we do underground for decades. And so the primacy piece, EPA giving the state the authority, is basically saying, hey, state of Louisiana, you have proven that you know how to do this well for decades. Over a century of oil and gas investment, we trust that you know how to go do this as well. That had to happen first, mm-hmm. And you don't hear a lot about those conversations. Obviously, the headlines come back to jobs and investment, and that's awesome. But we had to get the science right. We had to know we could regulate it properly first, and we did. And now you're going to see, you know, conservative estimates say north of $13 billion in investment. The state of Louisiana even says, you know, LED says it could be as much as $20 billion over time. That's exciting.
We're talking with Tommy Fauchet from the Louisiana Mid-Continent Oil and Gas Association. Tommy, I think it's important to note that you have, you know, oil and gas right there in your association's name. This has not been an adversarial relationship thus far. This is a chance to move everyone forward with energy in the future.
Yeah, look, the future of oil and gas is bright. The need for oil and gas production, which of course is, you know, a great industry for Louisiana, a great industry for our, you know, Haynesville shale operators, for our offshore operators, the need for oil and gas isn't going away. Every study, independent from around the world, shows that the need for oil and gas over the next 50 years continues to increase. We're not moving away from oil and gas production. We're investing more. As a matter of fact, we want to invest more. But what we also know is that the industry truly feels that it's a responsibility to reduce carbon emissions. And so when we look at Louisiana, we see the opportunity to continue to produce oil and gas while also reducing emissions. And that's going to benefit the energy industry. It's going to benefit the petrochemical industry. When you think of the chemical plants up and down this river, many of which are consumers of energy. They use large amounts of energy for their processes. They use energy for feedstocks. The ability to produce oil and gas and reduce carbon emissions will ultimately allow us to succeed, because the truth is consumers want us to produce lower carbon energy. Doesn't mean we move away from oil and gas. Matter of fact, oil and gas produced in the Gulf of Mexico, for example, is some of the lowest carbon oil and gas produced anywhere around the globe.
Right.
One will allow us to do the other. This is an all-of-the-above approach. We are not moving away from traditional oil and gas production. We're just saying we're going to do it with fewer carbon emissions.
Well, and at the end of the day, Tommy, the oil and the gas is just the fuel. I mean, y'all are all about the people that work in the industry, the Louisianans that y'all represent a lot more than the actual product. And at the end of the day, this is about jobs, and this is about having the education, knowledge, and know-how to, if you can handle one, the crossover transfer of, you know, if somebody was working in oil and gas, they already know a lot walking into the carbon sequestration field. They've got a jump start on others.
Yeah, look, we have more than 300,000 people in Louisiana benefit every day from the oil and gas industry, whether you're employed directly by the industry or for a company who services the industry.
Yeah.
That's only going to grow with new carbon capture investments. We have some of the best that work in the pipeline industry, that work in the actual refineries and plants, that work out in the field. I come from a blue-collar oil and gas and chemicals family. I know firsthand the impact our industry has and expanding industry will have on families.
Yeah,
I'm the first person in my family to go to college because of our industry. It just works that way. Louisiana's blessed to have this industry here.
100%. We got Tommy Fauchet for a couple more minutes. I don't want to eat up all the time talking carbon capture, Tommy. So what else is going on the oil and gas front lately in your world?
Well, look, you know, there's a lot happening. If you follow the news, there's been a lot of discussion about LNG and LNG exports.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Louisiana natural gas production is strong. And particularly since the war with Russia and Ukraine, we have seen the need for Louisiana natural gas grow around the world. Biden administration has made some announcements here in the last several months, talking about pausing the review of future export permits. You know, that's not good. We want a maximum opportunity for Louisiana natural gas to be produced, then exported via LNG around the world. It's a responsibility that we think we can fulfill to supply gas to particularly a lot of European nations, a lot of allies. It's great for our Louisiana industry, obviously. So we need to see a different path on LNG. A lot of exciting things happening. Current production and exports are not stopping, but we want to see more opportunity, not a review that could lead to restricted opportunities in the future. And, of course, we continue to fight for increased offshore Gulf of Mexico lease sales. There are not enough now. This administration has not allowed the number of leases to go forward that we believe are needed to meet the energy demands of our country and of the world. We want to be energy independent. The Gulf of Mexico gives us our best opportunity to do that. We need to see more offshore oil and gas lease sales. But all that aside, Louisiana producers are doing well. Refineries are doing well. We continue to see investment. We saw the ITEP announcements from Governor Landry. All things that, you know, when you talk about the things that we can control here at home, we're doing all that right. We just need some help from the federal government with the right policies.
I got like two more topics to cover in the last 3 minutes here, Tommy. One of them sticks with it. You mentioned the Biden administration, who has been, I think it would be the gentlest way to say it, adversarial to the industry in his time in office. How big of a swing has it been to have Louisiana's own Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House to try and, you know, you're not going to get anything past the Biden administration, sure. But how big of an advantage has it been to have Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House speaking on y'all's behalf?
Look, you know, so Speaker Johnson obviously has been leading, you know, the House of Representatives just had Energy Week here a couple of weeks ago, yeah. really focusing a spotlight on United States oil and gas production, United States energy. Speaker Johnson visited a site with Chesapeake Energy in the Haynesville. The Speaker, using his national role to focus, you know, the world on Louisiana energy, is fantastic. We were all together in Washington when this latest LNG announcement came out, and he walked over to me and he said, "We have to continue talking about the need to increase Louisiana production, increase Louisiana exports." Speaker Johnson has been a longtime ally of the industry, and he's using his role, I think, to continue to spotlight the great things happening with the Louisiana oil and gas and energy industry.
Last one before we get you out of here. What do you have your eyes on at the state capitol?
So we're going to be talking about carbon capture this week. We have had a lot of discussions with members of the legislature, a lot of new legislators from when we were here a year ago. And so making sure that they understand the role of carbon capture in our communities, the benefits that will come from it, the role it plays in the larger oil and gas and petrochemical industry. So we'll be clearly looking at that. And, of course, everybody's talking about a constitutional convention. We'll see ultimately where things are going. I know this. I want a state government, a constitution. I want policy that makes it efficient for Louisiana oil and gas companies. I want predictable tax policy. We want to make it simpler and easier for energy companies to invest in Louisiana. And so we're going to continue to look at all of that as we go through the rest of the session.
Predictable tax policy is probably the biggest, most resounding thing right there. How attainable is that through a limited constitutional convention?
I think it's doable. I think it's about, you know, opening things up and taking a look at what makes sense for all business and all industry. The governor was at our annual meeting earlier this spring, and he said he wants to make sure that everyone knows that Louisiana is open for business when it comes to oil and gas and energy production. I'm confident that he wants to keep his word there, and so we're excited about the possibilities.
He is Tommy Fauché from the Louisiana Mid-Continent Oil and Gas Association. We don't have you on enough, man. It's always a great conversation. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk later. Thanks.